you ready? Ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
Everybody, I want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. I've got a really exciting show for you this evening. It's a real honor and pleasure to bring to you, at the same time, two of my friends, two men of God who love Jesus and have been serving the Lord faithfully for many years and have been called for this time. I'm talking about Pastor Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club and Pastor Dan Catlin of Messiah's Branch in Wichita, Kansas. Gentlemen, would you like to open up tonight's show in prayer?
Yes, absolutely. Stan, why don't you go ahead and do the honors?
Father, first of all, we say that we love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. We say, blessed be the name of the Holy Father, Holy Son, and Holy Ghost. We say, blessed be the Lamb, and we ask that you would be with us in this broadcast, give us the questions, the answers, the right heart, and cause people to tune in and listen. And Lord, use us this day to build up your kingdom, your throne, for your glory and your majesty, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God. Gentlemen, as we're getting into tonight's program, why don't each of you take a few moments and talk a little bit about how you got involved in the ministry. And Stan, you want to start it off tonight?
I guess it was June of 1993. I was setting my office. At the time, I was in sales. I was selling self-improvement courses. I would sell the course, sales course, course management course, public speaking course, then I would go around and teach it, did that for 13 years. And a radio station called and asked if I would do a 15-minute program on Bible prophecy. Long story short, we started, no audible voice. However, it's now August 10th, 1994, Tex Morris to speak. Leslie asked me to go out to the car and get an audio tape. And I had just been forced the day before, that Friday afternoon, to make a decision if I was going to continue in the sales of these courses or if I was going to go to, quote, the radio stuff. And so I went out to the car, and as I closed the garage door behind me, this whole prayer took place from the time I closed the garage door to dig in the van, to dig out an audio tape, to walk back into the house. I said, you know, I want to do this radio stuff for you. I said, but you know, I got a new wanting to do, or are you really calling me to do this? I said, because, you know, this is not a joke. I mean, some things I'm going to be saying could get me in a lot of trouble. I got a mortgage. I got a family. I got car payments. I mean, you know, I have to know. So I thought, okay, how can I put him to the test? How can I test this? How can I say, okay, I got. If you want me to do this, if you're calling me to do this, and if you're going to be there to provide, start to get a little emotional here, to provide and to protect, if you're calling me to do this, then I'd like for you to have a prophet, someone that you know is a prophet of God, to call me before Monday morning and say these words, that I'm supposed to do this full time and that you will be there to provide and to protect in Jesus' name. Opened the door, walked in, handed the audio tape. This is 8:30 Saturday morning. About 11:30 that same morning, Tex Mars calls. Well, I'm all packed up. I'm about ready to leave back down to Austin. Just wanted to call and tell you that I believe the Lord has spoken to me on something, and I wanted to share it with you. And so I motioned to Leslie, and, you know, hey, two people put the phone up to both ears. She heard this. He says, I just wanted to say that I believe that you're leaving the training business and coming into ministry full-time is of the Lord. And I want to say that I believe that it's a time whose season has come, and that God is faithful. He's going to be there. He's going to provide, and he's going to protect. Well, it was kind of like that knock on the head. You know, McFly, are you getting this? Well, I knew. See, so that's very important. When God calls us to do something, and don't get me wrong, we do a lot of things that we're not certain that God calls us to do. But when it's a big thing like this, and now June is going to be 24 years I've been doing this, and so it's got to be from him. And so for the folks out there listening, when it's a big thing and God wants you to do it, you pray, you ask, and he will tell you. And by the way, he can talk, and that does sometimes that's audible, sometimes that's a dream or vision. But boy, if you think he can't talk to your heart, I can tell you about some times when I've been put on my knees. I knew who was talking to me. I was getting a chew it out deluxe style.
Okay. I got it. This is about how Stan and I came together. Anyway, I went to a prophecy club meeting because of that letter. And after that, you know, I was sold 100%. I'd never heard this kind of thing from any ministries around that was coming out of Stan's. And Don McElvaney, very heavy-duty speaker. Well, Stan started doing meetings in Wichita. What Stan would do, he would have a meeting, which, what do you call them, Stan, seminars?
Prophecy club meetings, yeah.
Okay, meetings. All right, and so you'd have meetings, and I know the meeting that impressed me so much was the Wichita meeting where you had Ron Wyatt speak.
Right.
And actually, after that meeting, I was speechless for a couple of days, but we won't go deep into that. But anyway, so I volunteered, I volunteered to help you carry out your tapes and everything. And you looked at me strange because I was still dressed like a biker and not wearing churchy clothes. And so yeah, I think you were a little leery of me. But after that, you know, I prayed about it really hard. I said, well, Father, you know, there's a lot of things that I don't know this man that well, but I would like to help out his ministry. I'd like to volunteer and do as much as I can. And the Father told me, and this was a direct word, he said that if I would help the Prophecy Club, specifically, if I would help Stan just to ignore our differences and that our ministry would prosper. Well, after that, I started helping you in the meetings, and you allowed me to even give out my newsletters from the table. And so this went on for a number of years. And so, you know, we formed a friendship, and, you know, we're still friends, what, over 20 years later?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to throw my testimony into the mix here. I learned about the Prophecy Club back around, it was probably back around 96, and I heard about some of the great people that they were bringing in. On the circuit, they would do the Prophecy Club conferences, produce the videotapes, and I began to watch these, and I said, man, these are awesome. And I became a real fan of the ministry, and I tell you, there was many times where I was cut off because of where I lived overseas, but I would stay in touch with what's going on in the world and in Bible prophecy through your tape, Stan. Truly, they inspired me. And some of the best interviews that have ever been done and continue to be done. And then that was the video side. And then on audio, I was in Panama. And then, Costa Rica, rather. I'm back up here. And the Lord would tell me to get out of Dodge, pack my bags. I was getting ready for a move. And this was around 2004. The Lord told me to leave the country, and I did. And he opened up a door, and next thing I know, I'm in Cartagena, Colombia. I'm even further away from home than I was before, in a land that they don't even bother to learn English. It's all Spanish or nothing. And so I'm sitting there in South America, totally removed, from everything, and I'm there for a time. But my lifeline was the internet, and internet podcast and radio. And both these gentlemen that we have on tonight are two pioneers, both in video and audio, and working for the Lord. And the distribution of your Prophecy Club tapes and the shows that you do, Stan, and Pastor Dan, the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour that has went around the world. Folks, it was a lifeline for me, and still is. And I would go to an internet cafe in Cartagena, Colombia, and it's one of the slowest connections you can imagine, but I would be there hours, and I would do whatever it takes to download the daily broadcast so I would have something to listen for in the evening, because there wasn't any TV, there wasn't any phone calls back home for a time, and I'll tell you, it kept me alive, and it really blessed my soul listening to both of you gentlemen and watching your programs, and continues to this day. You've been faithful servants of the Lord, and you're continuing to work on the front lines for Jesus as we go into these end times. And so we're just taking a little bit of time here to give some background on how we all came about to know each other. And your testimony, Stan and Dan, tonight of how God called you into the ministry is awesome. And you didn't start just yesterday. You've been faithful. Some people start out in the ministry and then they quit. But, you know, you've been through rough times like we all have, going through this life, and ups and downs it brings, but you didn't quit, and you're still going strong for Jesus. And I believe God has you alive in this time, as we all are here tonight, for a plan and purpose. You know, we could have been born at any time in history and missed the events that we're seeing, you know, start to unfold. And, you know, I know you gentlemen have been sounding the alarm for a long time. And it's not easy. And there's people that will say, well, you know, you've been preaching this, that we're, the last days are coming for a long time. Folks, they're here. And you know what? I praise God that you have been faithful in sounding that alarm, gentlemen, because it's been a wake-up call to many, and it's caused many of us to focus in on the Lord, to prepare ourselves spiritually for these last times. And I praise God that God didn't just sound the alarm yesterday, and we had a very short time to prepare. But God has given us all a lot of warning, a lot of time to prepare. And folks, that time that he's prophesied about and warned us through his word, through his prophets, through these two gentlemen here and their programs, is at hand. I mean, we're going into some terrible times. Will we be going into World War III? But I'm going to stop right there. I want to give it back to you gentlemen. I'm here tonight again with Pastor Stan Johnson and Pastor Dan Catlin, and we're just excited to have these two men of God with us. Gentlemen, the mic is back to you.
Amen. Well, Stan, I got a couple things maybe to say, because let's go with this. I think he said the devil was attacking us tonight and trying to break the connection. I think there is a definite reason for that, and I think it is number one, you know, our messages have been consistent about warning, and we do believe we're in that time of the end. But I believe the Christian church, at least the Western church, after President Trump was elected, has seemed to went to sleep. They've quit in America. They've quit buying guns. They've quit prepping. I hear it from all kinds of watchman ministries and people that sell preparation things. It seems like they think, okay, party's over. We're all fine. But that isn't the way that it is. And so I thought I might just give a couple of headlines and then let you take it in to that most important message that you have been consistent with all of these years. So you want me to do that?
No, absolutely. Yes, go for it.
Okay. All right. Right now, folks, the church is under great persecution in China, and it's exploding, though. In a few short years, that will be the largest group of Christian believers in the world. In the Middle East, where the Christian church came from, they're proving that they are ready to go through the tribulation, because there's a genocide going on there by beheadings and crucifixions and people being burned alive, as well as many other ways of being martyred for their faith in Yeshua. Yes, the church is ready in some places. Muslims all over the Middle East are seeing dreams and visions of Yeshua and are being saved. But how about the Western church? After a sudden release of Obama and no follow-up of Hillary, the Western churches went back to sleep. They slowed down in prepping and supporting the Watchman-type programs because they believe President Trump it's fine. It's all saved. And they feel such a release from Trump. But folks, we are in a really, really dire place. So let me set the stage for the for what is to come tonight. And I believe this is a good warning. Google searches for the term World War III, folks, have hit the highest level ever as a result of the Trump administration's escalation in Syria and South Korea. Even as we, or North Korea, even as we speak, they are prepping for war there. What is about that escalation? Foreign journalists in North Korea have been told to prepare for a big event in the next couple of days. Trump on North Korea says we're sending in an armada. So while our president sends an armada, China made a huge move at the North Korean border, and the People's Liberation Army of China has deployed upwards of 150,000 troops. This is a fact, in two separate groups in preparation for unforeseen circumstances. What are these troops for? Could be for many things. They claim it's for medical and support units. For what? In case of a war. Why is all this? Well, it's because of indications President Trump could attack Korea at any moment. But what about that? Let's not leave Russia out of the mix of this. And Russia is angry. So is Iran. Because Trump, what did he do? He bombed Syria. And so now Russia's on the edge. Iran's on the edge. You know, we hear right now, Tillerson, our Secretary of State, says the United States and Russia ties are at a lower point than they have ever been. That includes the Cold War. So let's not forget that China, or that Iran and Russia are allies of North Korea. And really, most of these are part of the makeup of Gog Magog countries. So we have world on a brink of war, but the Christian church seems asleep. And not to let this slip by, through all this, last week, Russia actually recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital with a catch. What's the catch? The catch is that East Jerusalem would be the future of a Palestinian state and West Jerusalem as the capital of an Israeli state. Sounds like a divided country. So let's see what Stan has to say about this. Are you there, Stan?
I am. I want to start by saying Lindsey Williams is not only a good friend, and I love him dearly, and we are personal friends. I mean, we talk all the time. And I spoke with him last night, and he gave me a little update, and I was asking him about North Korea. We were talking about North Korea. And he said, well, the elite, now understand, this is what the elite say, but you also got to understand, this is not thus saith the Lord. This is not prophets. This is what they see, what they plan. And they don't always get their way, and they are not always correct. Anyway, it says the elite do not see war in the immediate future. That's good. Okay, then there's this other guy, I'm sorry, I don't give him a lot of credibility. He's some fireman that says, that a lot of people say, well, his prophecies were accurate about Trump. I don't think that they were all accurate, but that's beside the point. That's the reason I'm not mentioning his name. I'm not trying to criticize another brother in the Lord. But he says that essentially they're not looking at any kind of a problem during the Trump presidency. And that's what he said the Lord told him. Oh, I love that too. I love good news because I love this nation. I want to see this nation blessed. But the question is, who are we going to listen to? First of all prophecies must line up with the King James Bible. And unfortunately, I have some prophecies from some proven prophets that will raise your eyebrows. And we'll start with that. I'm not going to go through the whole prophecy, but Maurice Scholar had a vision that North Korea hits America with three EMP nukes. That's electromagnetic pulse nukes. My wife, Leslie Johnson, that I do not know of a prophecy or dream or vision that she has ever missed, and she had a dream that North Korea took and turned a cargo plane into a passenger plane loaded with an atom bomb flying over America. We had Doug Metzger in to make a DVD at Prophecy Club, and he had a dream, and he heard an audible voice in the dream, and he saw on the side of an ICBM, a ballistic missile, and it had a North Korea flag, and it said, Sword of Judgment, and he heard the audible voice of God say, Sword of Judgment toward America. Okay, so that's three. then in one of Demetra Dudeman's visions, and this was the angel specifically said that these are what they plan, but it's not necessarily going to happen this way. But he showed them two presidents making war plans to attack America. Quote, "We too will fight for you. We're sure that Korea and Cuba will be on our side too. Without a doubt, together we can destroy America." Now, that does not necessarily mean that that's saying that Demetra Dudeman said that we're going to be in a war with Korea. I want to make that crystal clear. It's just that he was shown that that's what they're planning. Now, this next thing I had not released. I got this. Pastor Massey called me back in July of 2016 and gave me this prophecy. Now, who's Pastor Massey? Well, he prays about 3 hours every day with people from around the globe. I prays like 3 o'clock in the morning, from 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. And I've had him in my home. I've met him and his wife. And he too, I believe, is a great servant of the Lord. Started 300 churches in Pakistan, or Pakistan, as he says, and has led some 33,000 Muslims in Pakistan to the Lord. So he's got quite a legacy there. Anyway, I've not released this until just yesterday for the very first time. And frankly, I didn't release it because it sounded just too far off the beaten path at the time. However, maybe not so far off the beaten path now. So I'm going to release it here for the second time. He called me July 2016, and he said that the Lord showed him, or told him, like he said, this is something I felt in the heart. No dream, no vision, no audible voice. So if you want to take that as fairly credible, then take it, okay? He said, Seattle will be nuked by North Korea. God will punish North Korea for the crimes against the Christians. America will retaliate and drop a nuke on North Korea, and North Korea will be wiped out. Now, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So if it's just Maurice Scholar saying North Korea is going to hit America, throw it away. If it's just Leslie Johnson saying North Korea, cargo plane, passenger plane, nuke bomb, throw it away. But when you got Maurice, Leslie, Doug Metzger, and Demetra Dudeman hinting at it, Pastor Massey saying, okay, that's at least three, if not four, people saying the same thing. Then, January 22 of 06, Leslie was given seven headlines leading to the fall of America. One of them was Catastrophe Hits America. That'll be a future headline. Catastrophe Hits America. Well, I just pulled this text from our article on Fox News yesterday. Pyongyang has described the situation as grim, according to the CNN statement. Quote, we will make the U.S. fully accountable for the catastrophic consequences that may be brought about by its high-handed and outrageous acts, it read. So here we have this Kim Jong-un of North Korea actually using the same word in the prophecy, catastrophic consequences, and her prophecy had said catastrophic hits, or excuse me, catastrophe hits America. Now, what could the catastrophe be? Well, there's several prophecies out that I've made on several past programs, and if you're interested, I can cover it. But suffice to say, I've got about four or five verified sources that say there's from 20 to 50 suitcase nukes secreted all across America. And according to what Michael Baldea, grandson of Demetra Dudeman, was shown in a vision, that they all explode on or about the same time. So that could be devastating. That's North Korea. Now, with your permission, I'd like to jump over with what I think is coming to Syria. Is that okay?
Go right ahead. Yeah,
okay.
Let's go.
Now, I'm in the process of memorizing the book of Revelation. I've got the first 14 chapters down. And in that process, it's like Revelation has come alive to me. Even though I've been studying it, teaching and preaching it for years now, but it's like all of a sudden, it's like it's exploding off the pages. I'm seeing things, how do I say this, below the ink on the paper. I'm seeing things in the spirit, and matter of fact, I'll probably wind up making a DVD that I'll probably will call Revelations on Revelation. So I'm going to go to Revelation 13. I'm going to show you Syria in Bible prophecy. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, that's seven continents, and 10 horns, That means they'll divide the seven continents into 10 global regions. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, meaning each of the 10 global regions will have a physical person leading it. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy, meaning that each one of these heads blasphemes God, means that they actually let the words come out of their mouth attacking God. So let me summarize. He saw a beast rise up out of the people, that's the sea, that takes the seven continents, divides into 10 globes. Each global region has a leader that blasphemes God. Second verse. The beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Who's the dragon? Well, that's the old serpent, also called Satan and the devil. But what's the leopard? Well, the leopard is really not too hard to figure out. All you got to do is Google leopard. You get a map of where the leopards live. Print out the map. Then Google Muslims. Where do most of the Muslims live? And you print out the map. You hold the maps up, you overlay them, and you see that where the leopards live is almost exactly where the Muslims live. Now, there's more to it. I can get more complicated. I can spend 30 minutes explaining, but need not. Suffice to say that leopards represent Muslims. But now I want to point out something that I saw for the first time, even though I've been teaching this year. I made DVDs on it, okay? The beast which I saw was like to a leopard. In other words, the primary beast is not a bear. The primary beast is not a lion. Who's the bear? Well, that's the Russian bear. Who's the lion? Well, that's the English lion. Okay, so the primary beast that forms the world government is leopard. Okay, well, wait a minute. How can you have Muslims take over and lead the whole world in the last days? Well, when Russia attacks America, and as Dmitry Dudeman's told, and basically God raises up China, Japan, meaning the nations, they go against the Russians, they defeat the Russians, they back the Russians at the gates of Paris where they make a peace treaty, but they make the Russians their leader. Now, you're saying, wait a minute, Bible says that the beast is likened to a leopard. Yes, it is. Means that most of the beast is Muslims. And yes, Israel is defeated. World War III, Israel gets back her land from the Euphrates to the Nile, probably including all of Saudi Arabia. So there's going to be a lot of Muslims killed in World War III, too. But there's, I mean, America is almost wiped off the map, as is Russia. So, and like the Phoenix Bird says, out of the ashes rises the new bird, or rises the new world order. As is on the front of the Morals and Dogma, written by Albert Pike, it says, Ordo ab chao. That's Latin. That means order out of chaos. What order? A new world order. A world government. Out of what chaos? A chaos of the ashes of the old order based upon the Bible. So what it's saying is there's going to be a global kingdom that is, first of all, built upon the leopard or the Muslims, and a part of it is bear, a part of it is lion, but the dragon gave him his power, seat, and great authority. Okay, so it's saying we've got these, the leopard, bear, and lion, that is being built into a world government. Then if you jump back over to Daniel chapter 7, it has four beasts also. The first beast was like a lion, that's the English lion, and it had eagle's wings. Everybody knows that the eagle that came out of the lion would be America. Okay, so we got the English lion, the American eagle's wings. Next verse, behold another beast, second like to a bear. The bear is the Russian bear again. And what does it say? Arise and devour much flesh. So the bear is a people-killing machine. After this, and lo, one like unto a leopard. And then the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, that's your world government, dreadful and terrible, strong exceeding, had great iron teeth, and it break and devoured pieces, stamped the residue, meaning that the world government tears up all of the other beasts before it, that's the ashes, and then it forms a world government. But we see the bear in Revelation 13. We see the leopard. We see the lion. But there's no eagle's wings. Well, if you look at verse 4 in Daniel 7, it says, I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, meaning that America is defeated before she gets into the world government, meaning America is defeated in World War III. So she's taken out in World War III. Okay, so now back to Syria. Now let's tie this back to Syria. Okay, so what's the leopard? All right, we're in Daniel, and the leopard says, and it had upon the back of it four wings. A wing is a land mass. Four wings of a fowl, and the beast of it had four heads, meaning there's four land masses. Each of the land mass, or the nations, has a leader. Okay, we know that everything is centered around Israel. So what could possibly be the four nations that would be the Muslim leopard that would go against Israel? Because that's what the Muslims are all to kill everybody, but they most especially want to kill the Jews, okay?
Well, absolutely.
After World War II, they made the nations around Israel democratic nations. Libya, Egypt, Syria, Turkey, all of those are democratic nations. Yes, they have a lot of Muslims, but their government structure is democratic. Until we saw the Arab Spring. The Arab Spring turned Libya into a Sharia law, Egypt into a Sharia law. And that's what they're really trying to do with poor little Assad. Yeah, he ain't a Christian. He's not a good guy. But he is a democratic society. And what they really want to do is turn that into a Sharia law. Now, if you look at what has happened to Erdogan up in Turkey, as you recall here just a few months back, there was a coup trying to take him over, and the coup failed, and he is basically turning Turkey into a Sharia law state. And in my opinion, there's your third beast. There's your leopard. Right. So those four nations, Libya, Egypt, Syria, and Turkey, and it could be Iraq is one of them, but probably Turkey. Why do I say Turkey? Because if you look at Ezekiel 38, Turkey is a big part of the group that goes down to attack Israel for Armageddon. Also, in Revelation chapter 3, under the church of Pergamos, it says where Satan's seat is, in Pergamos. Okay, where's Pergamos? Well, there's no city called Pergamos now, but today it's a city that is located in western Turkey. And it says that's where Satan's seat is. What is a seat? In other words, that's kind of his capital. So Satan's capital is in Turkey. So there's a high probability the Antichrist will come from Turkey, though I think he has a higher probability of being Syria, with a possibility of being Iraq, either Iraq, Syria, or Turkey. Now, what I think we're looking at with Syria, and they tried to do this under Trump, of course, I mean, they tried to do this under Obama, but Obama's too much of a Muslim sympathizer, I'm putting that nicely, to go against his Muslim brothers.
Okay?
That's the reason we didn't go over there and hit him. Now, Trump, I believe they tricked him. I believe they lied to him, and he did what he thought was best. Anytime you see CNN spring up and say, oh, well, Trump finally did something good, and then you see the communist traitor, in my opinion, John McCain, say, oh, that was a good thing to do, and there's about eight others that are on the bad side. First thing they ever saw that Trump was doing good was going down to attack Syria. So in my opinion, I don't think we got the truth. I don't know exactly what the truth is, but I don't think that's the truth. But here's what the Bible says, is that Syria, if my understanding is correct, Syria will become a Sharia law Muslim nation, and that will be part of the leopard. Now, why is this important? Because you can't have the fourth beast or the world government until you have the third beast. Third beast not in place yet. Third beast got to have four wings of a fowl and four heads. Right now it only has two, maybe two and a half if you count Turkey as already being Sharia law. But the point is, we could have the leopard in place maybe even by the end of this year. All of a sudden, leopard in place, and then world government come on in place. So the point is, what they're really doing with Syria is removing a democratic leader and making it Sharia law. They are forming the leopard.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, folks, if you don't believe that about the Muslims, all you have to do is look at the headlines. They're trying to force Sharia law in America. It's being put forward in our schools on the East and West Coast. The children are being taught that Islam is a stronger and the prophet is greater than the Christian religion. This is all being put forward. And in fact, if you compare the Bible and Islam, let me just give you one thing. In the Bible, the Antichrist and the false prophet will specifically use beheading as a primary means of executing nonconformists, or those people that don't line up, right? Well, Islam says the Mahdi and the Muslim Jesus will use Islam practice of beheading for executions to those who do not accept Allah. And so I did a program on it. You can find it at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. I did a program last week called Antichrist, and I went through a huge list of comparisons between the Bible and Islam that would should more than prove to you who they are and what they're doing. Stan, what you say is absolutely right. They are, as far as Syria goes, I believe strongly, and I'm a news guy, that this was a false flag done against Bashar Assad. He had no reason in the world to use chemical weapons. He had everything to gain and a whole bunch to lose. Back to you.
There was another article that I could pull up if necessary. One guy at least says that John McCain was over in Syria a couple of days before the supposedly sarin gas, and there's some people that have big questions to whether it was sarin gas. Other people say that it was a false flag, that actually Assad did not do it, and that's what the Russians say. And so I think that, and I don't know. But I don't think we have the truth. I don't know what the truth is, but I don't think we have the truth, and I think Trump was lied to.
That's kind of where I am at.
If you're just joining us,
there's no way to really prove it. Back to you, Omega Man.
I want to just insert, welcome everybody. For those who are just joining us, we're live with Pastor Dan Catlett of Messiah's Branch and Pastor Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club. Gentlemen, I'm just smiling from ear to ear as I hear you gentlemen talking about current events. I don't know why we haven't done this sooner. And I think we're going to do this often. I'm enjoying tonight as you cover current events. Let me weigh in on this, and I'm going to throw it back to you. As y'all were giving commentary, I remembered Revelation 20, verse 4. May I read that? It says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, Brother Stan, I know that you and I have talked off air, and we're going to do a whole program on why we and others believe that we're not getting out of here any time before these events take place, unless you die.
Yeah, there's no pre-trib rapture.
Folks, let's say that again.
There's no pre-trib rapture.
Folks,
no pre-trib, no mid-trib, no pre-wrath. Nobody's going anywhere. No one's getting sucked in the air. Yes, God will protect his own, but it's just not going to be by sucking them in the air.
Folks, you've heard Pastor Stan, Pastor Dan, and myself all say the same thing here tonight, that we're not getting out of here until Jesus comes back at the last trump. He says he comes back immediately after the days of the tribulation, and he defines which tribulation that is. Let the word interpret the word. He says the great tribulation, never been before, never will be again. And folks, if you're alive at that time, okay, praise God. But many are going to be among those mentioned in Revelation 24 that were beheaded for their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. They were came by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. But, you know, we're not being taught this.
Let me give you something to that. That just drives me crazy.
Take it over.
Okay, you're done. I'm next.
Okay, I'll make it real quick. You mentioned this. What you mentioned was about people being beheaded, right? And people dying for the witness of Yeshua. Well, let me address the church. Church, what is your problem? Do you think that you're so much, you Westerners, do you think that we are so much better than the rest of the world that we would not have to suffer this martyrdom? Because this martyrdom is going on right now in the place that Christianity started from. There are millions of Christians that have been beheaded for the witness of Yeshua. They have been burned alive. They have been being crucified. All these things that he just said in the scripture that would happen to Christians is happening right now, and has been for the last few years. And it really just kind of drives me nuts, because every time I interview people on Bible prophecy, I bring them on radio and I say, well, what about these guys? And, you know, most every one of them just kind of goes over it and ignores the fact, because it's not the Western church. Western church, you need to wake up before it's too late. Back to Stan.
As I mentioned, I'm memorizing the book of Revelation, and I ran across a recent revelation that popped my eyeballs right out on my cheeks. And so I'm going to, rather than ask you a question, because I think you'd probably be like me and you'd probably answer it wrong, so I'm going to go ahead and pose the question and give you the wrong answer that I would have given before. And that is, do you have to die for Jesus in order to be an overcomer? And the answer is no. And I'll show you where that can be found. Now, I guess we all like to just find our answer in one scripture, but in this case, the answer is not in one scripture. It is an understanding a whole chapter. So I'm debating whether I need to read the whole chapter. How much time do we have here? And I'll try to squeeze it into the time.
We're doing good. We have plenty of time. Keep going.
Okay. All right.
Up to an hour.
Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. I'm not quoting this. I could, but it's a lot faster and easier to just read it. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And this is representing Israel. She being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. Of course, that's Satan. Having seven heads, there's your seven continents, 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. His tail drew a third part of the stars, that's his demons, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, that's Jesus coming into the world, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, Jesus, who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God to his throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Now here's the first part, you've got to understand this. The woman fled into the wilderness. Now, the difference between chapter 5 and 6 is an insert of about 2,000 years. Because Jesus caught up to the throne, then all of a sudden there's 2 years of just skip over, then we jump to the woman fled into the wilderness. What's it talking about? Matthew 24, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, then basically run to the hills, okay? Don't come down on, don't collect $200, don't pass go, don't collect your food or nothing. Run to the hills. Where do they run? They run 216 miles south down to the real Mount Sinai, where they don't offer sacrifices of animals. The Bible says they offer sacrifices of praise. Now, let's go back to Revelation 12. So the woman fled into the wilderness. This is when she sees the abomination of desolation. When she sees the Antichrist, sit on the Ark of the Covenant, that's the golden chair, that's the golden throne of God, and say, I am God. When they see that, they immediately run out of Dodge, and they're gonna leave Jerusalem and they're gonna head south. Okay, so the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years, 42 months, or time times and half a time. In other words, the Christians that are in Jerusalem, when they see the abomination of desolation, they run south. Now, let's continue. Hold on to that, because that's real important. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Now, a lot of people think, oh, well, the war in heaven's already taken place. Wrong. It has not taken place yet. How do we know? I'm going to show you. It takes place in the middle of the tribulation. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Okay, so when does this happen? When the woman flees to the wilderness. When does the woman flee to the wilderness? 1,260 days from the return of Jesus. When is that? That's in the middle of the 7-year tribulation. Now let's continue going on. Verse 11. And here's the big issue. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I cannot tell you how many times when I thought and I taught that was saying, if you want to be an overcomer, you got to die for Jesus. However, I'm going to show you that that is not the case. You can be an overcomer and not die for Jesus. So, next verse. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and them that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, that's Israel, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Now, of the 14 chapters I memorized, chapter 12 was by far the most difficult. Why? Because it has the same story repeated twice. And for me to try to get this into my knucklehead brain was not easy. And it might not be easy for you to understand it, but if you can get this, I'm about to give you a big nugget, and it's going to really encourage you. Okay, so anyway. So this, the woman, which is Israel again, it tells another story of how now she's given two wings of eagle. I know some people say, oh, that's an airplane. No, that's not an airplane. Because if you go back to Egypt, when Moses and the children of Israel left Egypt, if you read that story, you'll find the phrase that says, and I took them out on the wings of an eagle. Okay? So it simply means that they fly. They leave the same way in the Exodus. Okay, so to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, that's Saudi Arabia, down to the real Mount Sinai, to her place where she is nourished for a time, that's a year, times, that's 2 years, and half a time, that's 3.5 years, or 42 months, or time, times, and half a time, or 1,260 days. So it's the same story of the woman fleeing down to Mount Sinai for 3.5 years, 1,260 days, from the face of the serpent. Now, here's the key. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as the flood after a woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was, in other words, this is where there's probably was a big flood from the devil, and they were down there in another ravine like they were when they came out from the Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Pharaoh says, oh, they're caught in a bind here. They're caught up against the back of the water. They've trapped themselves. And it's going to be the same thing. Might even be the same ravine. So the devil sends a flood, but the earth cracks and opens up and swallows up the flood. That's essentially what it's saying. Now, let's go on. The earth opened up her mouth, swallowed the flood, which the dragon cast out. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war. Here it is. Went to make war with the remnant of her seed, that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. What's happening? It's saying that the devil chases these people. When he sets in the Ark of the Covenant, says, I'm God, sees a bunch of people run south, he chases them down to Mount Sinai, down in Saudi Arabia, 260 miles straight south of Jerusalem. But on the way down, he causes a big flood. The earth has a big crack in it, swallows the flood up. So at that time, the dragon sees that the woman is being protected by God for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. So then he returns. He turns and goes back to Jerusalem. And how do we know this? It's because in another scripture it says, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. So that's the remnant. It says here, the remnant of her seed. Keep the commands of God, have the testimony of Jesus. Now, were those Jews? Doesn't have anything to do with whether they're Jews or not. They keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. If you have a testimony of Jesus, just like all three of us couldn't shut our mouths to give our testimony when we started tonight, that means we're a Christian, brother, okay? So this is a group of Christians, but these are the guys that did not leave Jerusalem. These are the guys that saw the abomination, either they didn't recognize it, for whatever reason, they did not leave, so they did not put their lives in danger. Because of that, they are called the remnant. They keep the commandments of God. They have the testimony of Jesus. Okay, so then why is it that in verse 11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death? They were the ones that said, hey, man, that's what Jesus is talking about, man. That's abomination, desolation right there. Let's leave right now. And they put their lives in jeopardy, disobeying the Antichrist, and they ran. Because they put their lives in danger, that made them an overcomer. The only difference between those that overcome and the remnant is the overcomer puts his life in danger. Doesn't mean his life is taken, because, see, both groups are alive. The ones that are down in Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia, that over the overcomers, they're alive. And then the remnant that did not leave, that are back in Jerusalem, they're alive. So both groups are alive. But the difference is the ones that did not put their lives at risk, those are the remnant. They're blessed, but they're not blessed like the overcomer. So we can be an overcomer simply by putting our lives in jeopardy, simply by saying, I'm not taking the mark. I'm not doing that. I'm not just because, see, here's where the Bible says, here is patience and the faith of the saints. Here is those that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. He's saying, don't turn. Don't lose your garments, your wedding garments. Hold fast to that which thou hast, that you not lose your garment. I didn't quote that right, but the point is, we can be an overcomer and not lose our life. We simply have to disobey, resist the Antichrist, and continue to follow Jesus. There's going to be a time when what we did, there's a scripture in Jeremiah 51, I believe it is, talking about America, and it says, and it's an ambush. Well, what's an ambush? The good hunter watches for trails, and he can tell when his prey is moving between the food source and the water source. When he finds a trail, he just hides, and he waits for the prey to come along. Because what the prey did yesterday, it was okay. Last week, last month, last year is okay, and he got by with it. But now the trapper is there, and today it's not okay. And so what an overcomer has to do is say, I'm going to continue to follow Jesus no matter what. You can threaten me, but I'm not backing up. I'm going to continue to have patience. By the way, that's another thing. The word patience in Revelation, it means that we don't quit. We don't give up. We don't turn and run. We continue to walk with Jesus. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are they that are not defiled with women, for they were virgins. These are they that were gathered out of the men, and these are the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. These are they, that's what he wants us to do, is to resist the devil. Resist him and continue to follow Jesus, and if our lives are put at risk in doing that, we become an overcomer. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Hallelujah.
Praise God. We're live. Gentlemen, because I had some catastrophic internet failure, I wanted to see if you could go till 10:15. Give us another 45 minutes on the clock. Is that possible? If not, I'll take you for whatever time you got, but I just wanted to say I'm so enjoying tonight. We've got Pastor Stan Johnson and Pastor Dan Catlin. We're talking about current events tonight, folks. I mean, it's in the news. I'm watching the news over here in Bali, and I'm tuning in last night, and I'm also scanning, gentlemen, the other networks, and this is just unreal. Russia, Syria, Hezbollah, Iran meeting together. North Korea and Iran have been threatening us that they're going to nuke us. Is this crazy or what?
What about you, Dan? What? Can you do another 45 minutes?
Oh, I can hang on. I'm going to let you guys start talking. I'm going to walk off for about 2 minutes, but then I'll be right back to the phone.
Brother Stan,
how about if we jump and talk about the rapture for a minute?
Yes,
okay,
let's
do that.
I've got a couple of new verses, and then I'd like to jump over to my favorite verses. Is that okay?
Go for it.
Yeah, that's fine. As long as you remember to let me say something sometime. That was a joke. I'm joking. I'll be back.
I'm sorry. I'm talking too much.
No, you're not. Go ahead.
This is good today.
Okay. All right. Okay. Couple of new verses. And I'd like to say that I found this one, but I didn't find this. It came to me on an email. The guy was saying, hey, how come you don't point this out to people? And I looked at it. Well, the reason I didn't point it out, because I hadn't seen it. That's very good. Okay, so let's first go to Revelation 16. And it's 16:2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Okay, so Revelation 16:2, the people have the mark of the beast. Then you skip down to Revelation 16:15, which is after that, and it says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now, the question is, if people are still having and getting the mark of the beast, how can he come to them as a thief? It must mean that Jesus has not returned yet. And this is Revelation 16:2. They have the mark of the beast, and he is still warning them, I come as a thief, even after people have the mark of the beast. Of course, we know that, what is it, 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, that day shall not come till there come a falling away first. Well, so that messes up the people who want to say, oh, well, it's pre-trib. All right, now let me jump to my favorite three verses. And for those listening, I made three DVDs on Bible prophecy. made 33 DVDs on Bible prophecy. I made three DVDs on the rapture. The truth about the rapture, more truth about the rapture, plus I've also participated in a three-hour debate taking the post-trib position. So I'm not going to say everything about the rapture and defending it, but I'm going to say I think I am well qualified to be able to answer it. And there is no pre-trib. There is no mid-trib. There is no pre-wrath. Nobody is going anywhere. And of all of the verses I know, these three verses kill it more than anything. So here we go, Job 14:12. So man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Now, before I go any further, this is Job. Okay, is Job credible? Do you think Job would be shown the last days? Well, there's a scripture that says even if Job, Daniel, and Noah were here, only their righteousness would save them. And so the way it's worded is basically saying the three most beloved, the three most faithful men in the Old Testament were Job, Noah, and Daniel. Job was one of the three. He didn't mention Isaiah there, okay? So Job has a lot of credibility. Now let's go back to what it says. So man lieth down and riseth not, means that when he goes into the grave or when he dies, he riseth not till when? Till the heavens be no more. All right, when are the heavens no more? Pre-trib? No. Mid-trib? No. When does the Bible say the heavens are no more? That's 2 Peter 3:10. Here, let me jump over to it. I need to put this all to where I got it here real quick and easy. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Okay, so what's that saying? It's saying that when Jesus returns and he blows his glory out of his mouth, he brandishes his sword with the breath of his nostrils, he uses the morning star, and he breaks into shivers. Basically, his light comes out of his mouth, and he destroys the earth in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. The Bible says that his glory, his light, the light of life, goes all the way to the center of the earth. It sets the foundations on the mountains of the mountains on fire. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Another place it says the hills melt like water running down a steep place. And that's when Jesus arises to shake terribly the earth. That's when every mountain falls, every low place rises, there is no more mountain, there's no more sea, everything is nice and smooth, the earth is a nice round smooth ball. That's when every wall falls, that's when he destroys, just as he destroyed the old world with the flood, he destroys this world with fire. And that's when he brings in a new heaven and a new earth. Now, that's when the heavens be no more. Let me read that scripture again. So man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. And they shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Now, what is he saying? He's saying tain't nobody getting sucked in the air, nobody coming out of that grave until the heavens are no more. Well, when's that happened? Revelation 6. And I beheld an earthquake, and the sun was black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood, and the stars of heaven fell as a fig tree casting forth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens were removed like a scroll, and the mountains, here it is, the mountains and the islands were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the chief men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and the bondmen, and the free men, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks, and cried unto the rocks and the mountains, and said, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? That's the day it's talking about. That's when the heavens are no more, when they're burnt up, the elements melt with fervent heat. That is when we come out of the grave, and not before then. Next verse. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Oh, okay. All right. Well, this one is a real easy one for the pre-tribbers because they say, oh, well, that's easy because the wrath is the seven-year tribulation. So we just get sucked out before the seven-year tribulation. Wrong. Again, having memorized 14 chapters of Revelation. But I've also done a specific study into the word wrath. Now, there's several different meanings of wrath throughout the whole Bible. But when the word is referred to as the return of Jesus, this is the description. And I already described it, but I'll briefly describe it again. That's when Jesus returns on the white horse. That's when he blows his glory down, goes to the center of the earth, sets the foundation the mountains on fire. And there's three groups of people. There's the sinner. And when that light of life hits the sinner, then out of their belly, they burn up. Same thing. That's how Lucifer is destroyed. If you go into, I think it's Ezekiel 28, he says that he will burn him up from, this is not exactly quoting it right. I need to learn to memorize that one, but out of his belly. He burns up from the inside out. Same thing. Zechariah 14:12 describes the people that are fighting at Armageddon. It says their eyes consume out of the socket, the tongue consumes out of the mouth, and the flesh consumes off the bones before the soldier can even hit the ground in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how long it takes for his light of life to hit the people. So as that light of life hits the people without the blood on the doorpost, all of a sudden they fall to the ground in a pile of ashes and bones. Malachi 4:5 says that they shall be ashes under the soles of our feet. Then to the Christian that has the blood on the doorpost, then the death angel passes over, you see. And as the light hits us, it is the light of life. And out of our belly flows rivers of living water. And in an instant, all of a sudden, boom, and we get our glorified body. Again, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And from that moment on, we hunger no more, thirst no more, we never grow old, we never die again, we never sin again, instantly. Then there's the third group of people. Those people that do make it to the end, and there's not going to be too many of them, make it to the end that did not take the mark of the beast, but they also did not receive Jesus either. They are what you might say grandfathered in. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. Those are the ones that still populate the earth. They still have children. They still build. They plant. They live to be the age of a tree. But nevertheless, they do not get a glorified body. They do not ever get saved. And they, at the end of the tribulation, that's when the devil is released from his prison. You know, he's for a little season. And then he gathers Gog and Magog around the New Jerusalem. The fire damp comes down out of the sky. And burns them all up. So those people are allowed to, quote, enter my rest. They're allowed to live during the 1,000 years of the millennium, but at the end of it, they're all burned up. They do not get eternal life. Now, let's go to the third verse. So the point is here, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me, that would appoint me a set time and remember me. Here's the key is, until thy wrath be past. The wrath is when Jesus returns. like, for example, in just memorizing this last time, and cast them into the wine press of the vine, cast the vine into the wine press of God, and it's God, and it's trampled without the city, and the blood rises, the horses' bridles for the space of 1,600 furlongs. So the wrath of God is that day. And the day of the Lord is one evening and one morning. Think of Isaiah 17:14 says in the evening they are, but in the morning they're not. So when it says the day of the Lord, it is literally one evening and one morning. That's all it takes for him to finally destroy all. Now let's go to the third verse. Now we're at Job 14:14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. What change? Well, that's when that light hits us and out of our belly flows rivers of living water. That's when we get our glorified body. That's when all of the sin nature is removed. That's when we're instantly healed, and within a blink of an eye, if we're alive at that time, we get our new glorified body. That's looks like it's about 30 years old. And if we're in the grave, we come popping out of the grave, and we come popping out of the grave having our white wedding garments on, and we look like we're 30 years old. Now, let me summarize. Job 14:12, 13, 14. So man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. There is no pre-trib. There is no mid-trib. There is no pre-wrath. Because he gathers all the tares into bundles and he burns them. Then he gathers the wheat into the barn. The tares are burned first. Then the wheat is gathered into the barn. Back to you.
Brother Dan, over to you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how should we get through this time? There's a key thing. If we are indeed going to endure the tribulation, then how would we do that? We would do that by faith. I want to give you guys something just a little bit on faith. One of my favorite little verses here in the Word. It's James chapter 2. And it says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say faith, may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Thou, the devils also believe and tremble. But thou wilt know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, he was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For the body without spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. Let me bring this into you. Now, what starts off talking about food, and clearly that's how we based our ministry. It's all by faith. We've been there 18 years, and I agree. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Because by faith, we step out of the door sometimes with not even gas money to get to 60 miles to Wichita. We go over there, we feed, we clothe, we see miracles, and he has never failed us. But by faith, I got up out of my chair and walked out the door and got in my truck and drove there. I didn't wait for a certain amount of money to come to me to be able to go do that. I got up, I walked, faced an action word. So that's the same thing that it applies broadly. To get through this time, you have to have faith, and if your faith is real, it will move you, just as it moved Abraham and Rahab the harlot. You get up and you move on that faith. You stand up and you speak the Father's words. You warn the people, as Stan said before. He was talking about overcomers. And it's all by faith. But faith is an action word. It's not, well, I'll just sit down here on the couch and pray about it. You know, in fact, Yeshua told you that you're to go out, not let them come in. And this is where part of the church has a problem, is that you're supposed to go out into the people, into the world, and give them the Great Commission, which is to bring them, get them saved through Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior. But if you're just sitting there waiting for it to happen, it's not going to happen. Faith is also this. If you believe something's coming, well, you get up and shut your shutters so the storm doesn't blow in. You do the same thing with your household. Is you make sure that your household is ready for the storm, but you got to be ready for the storm first by one thing, and that's that personal relationship that you have with Yeshua. Once you have that personal relationship, then all things will be given to you that you have need of. But I think Stan can describe how to get us into that relationship through a little thing he calls a prayer closet. Back to you, Stan.
And do we want to talk about the prayer closet? Go ahead, brother.
I want to hear about the prayer closet, but I want you to defer that just for a few seconds. Because I want to say something that's very controversial, Brother Dan and Brother Stan. And some years ago, I knew what was coming on America. I knew the warnings were real, and I did not want to be one of those people that had heard the warnings and decided to do nothing. I would call that a fool. I didn't want to play the fool. So I said, I want to avoid the concentration camps. I don't want to be here when the nukes go off. God never does anything unless he first reveals his plan to the prophets. And let every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. You're giving many witnesses tonight that God has spoken, and these things are going to come to pass. The word of God backs it up. I guess the question is the timing tonight. And we all hope we have a little bit more time. But these things are going to happen. Even, I'll add a couple more in the mix. Before he died, David Wilkerson wrote, I think, in his book, The Vision, he saw all of New York City going up in fire. A friend, Dr. Jonathan Hansen, was shown nuclear biological chemical attack coming on America. God showed him whatever the final body count was at the World Trade Center, and I think we had 3,000 people dead there, mostly secretaries and clerks, everybody else. For some reason, didn't show up that day. He said God showed him whatever the final body count was, there would be 1,000 times that next time in New York City alone. That means 3 million people would die next time in the next attack. The whole city would be on fire. He also showed him multiple locations that would go up in flames that match with what Dimitri said. California gone. Las Vegas, where I spent 3 years, and I thought I would probably be there the day it goes up in the mushroom. It's gone. All of Florida's gone. New York's gone. Red Dawn invasion. Interesting that Ortega, who was the communist dictator of Nicaragua, he's back in office in Nicaragua, and he's been elected for a second term. And I just heard last night, Amenajan, am I saying that name right? He's going to run for another term in Iran. He's coming out of retirement.
Ahmadinejad.
There we go. He just put his name in the hat.
Yep.
They're going to have elections in, I think, May. So we got these players coming on the scene. For the first time in 60 years, Cuba, the doors are opening. We just had our first commercial flight, I think, last week. Was it JetBlue? One of the airlines flew over there, only 9 miles off the coast. All the doors are being opened up for what Dimitri saw to take place for Red Dawn invasion. And so I knew all these things were coming. Let me try to make this story short. And I didn't want to be here, so literally my plan was to go to Petra. I said, I've read the word. When the mark comes out, it looks like the only place of refuge will be over there in Moab and Edom, over there in the land of Petra. So my plan originally was I was going to get my passport, and I was going to Petra. And you know, the Lord slowed me down. He said, it's not time yet. to begin the knee-jerk. And this was in 2003. And so I settled back down, calmed down a little bit, but the Lord knew my heart. He knew that I didn't want to take the warning for granted. Well, it's 2017. Many years have passed since then, and I've grown in my understanding that, look, these things are going to happen. But also, what's going to be our testimony at the end? What did we spend our life on doing? Some have spent their life literally just trying to survive Armageddon, and they're all into the physical preps, but they're not doing anything for Jesus. And so I eventually would punch out, and I would go overseas and live 5 years. I lived in Costa Rica for 3 years. I could still be there to this day. I had a residency visa approved. But the Lord showed me I was doing nothing for Him on the sidelines. I would spend 2 years in Panama. I would live a year in Tijuana, Mexico, and even live in Cartagena, Colombia. So when people have talked about where can I bug out to, I've been to Central America. I've been there and done that. And I can tell you that it's got a shelf life. Because if you remember very carefully what Dimitri said, he said it would be Russia, Cuba, Mexico, Central America, which involves Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, and Belize. And he said two other countries, which I can't remember. So if you happen to be thinking, well, I'm going to hide out in an expat compound down in Costa Rica where I lived for 3 years, and literally I had some places that I put up Constantino barbed wire to hide behind. I carried a .357 Magnum in my short pocket, and I did that to protect myself. You got to realize that that place is going to be overrun, and if you're there, they're going to overrun you, and you'll probably be lynched. Here's the deal. When the cry goes out, let's take America, everybody can divvy up the spoils, they're all going to get in on it, folks. Listen, it's coming. And so I knew this, and I didn't want to be here, frankly, okay? I punched out, but then God convicted me that, okay, you're over here in Costa Rica now. I punched out for good in 2009. I was not coming back, Stan and Dan. I had heard the warnings. I had saved up some gold and silver. And this was right after the collapse. My business was dead one day when the whole world collapsed with that the housing bubble blew. And I said, well, I've got enough. I can live a couple more years. But you know what? I had a big nut to cover every month. And unfortunately, it took a while to get down. So I was burning money faster than I thought I was. And I realized, you know what? Maybe I won't have enough. Yeah, I've done all the things. I bought the beans, bullets, and bullion. I used to be a gun dealer. I could buy anything I wanted. I had 1 million rounds of ammo. I had 2,000 cans of tuna. I still have a storage unit today, 600 5-gallon buckets filled with long-term storage foods. And so I'm a man where I put my money where my mouth was. I spent over $100,000 in preps. And one time I was the freeze-dried guy's biggest customer. I'm not lying. But you know what? I was also in fear. I couldn't sleep at night. I was being tormented. And I thought in my waking hours, what can I do as a backup plan to the backup plan that I had? So I would have 3 plans for ways I would eat. If it wasn't the MREs, then it would be the long-term storage rations. Then it would be tuna. Then if it came down to it, I'd live on ramen noodles. I would think about these scenarios during the day. Do I have enough ammo? Do I have enough? And I said, God, I'm angry. I don't want to see my country overrun. Maybe I'll go form a militia. I was thinking about these things. And God got a hold of me one day. I said, God, if I'm wrong, please tell me. But I don't want you to accuse me of being a fool and I didn't listen to your warning and your prophets. And God directed me over to a verse, Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we'll remember the name of the Lord our God. And so God got my attention, okay? Some of the things I was doing was being motivated by fear. I wasn't trusting the Lord. I was trusting totally in my preps. I wanted to bug out, and I realized, okay, I'm out of the country. What now? Am I winning any souls for Jesus? Do I have any signs that follow? Absolutely none. And the Lord convicted me, and I humbled myself, and I said, God, maybe I missed you somewhere. You know, I don't want to be a fool, but at the same time, I don't want to get before you. And I realize I went against your word where it says, he that seeks to save his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake shall save it. So what am I missing here? And I said, bottom line, if you want me to come back to ground zero, I will. And so literally he brought me back to America. in 2010 told me to pack my bags one day. I said adios to Costa Rica, came back to Gainesville, Georgia. I was there for about 3 years. We started Omega Man. And then before you know it, I had an invitation to go right to Babylon Central on Las Vegas. And I said, dear God, this is the last place I want to go. I'll probably be over here when the nuke goes off. But I said, you know, God, if you want me here for a time and a season, I'll go. And I was there almost 3 years until God transitioned me from there right into the lion's den. I'm in the largest Muslim country in the world, Indonesia.
Yeah.
So go figure. Yeah. But I have a point in what I want to say here. I thought the plan was to run, and that was the way to go, but God was saying, you know, that's not the timing. Someone told me you can move ahead of God or you can move too late. You want to be in the perfect timing of God. And so I began to go back to the Scripture and try to figure out what's the options for making it through the tribulation, because I want to be an overcomer. I would like to be one of those that are alive and remaining to see Christ come back at the last trump, because clearly not everybody's killed. As you said tonight, Stan, there's some that are going to be alive to see Jesus returning. But now, if God wants us to be a martyr, so be it. If you will keep the faith and not deny Christ, He will not deny you, and you'll come out of the body and go into the immediate presence of the Lord. So praise God. Take heart. Whatever you do, don't deny Christ and don't quit. But God was showing me there's a couple scenarios. So briefly, there's some that are going to be part of the great falling away. That's got to come before Christ comes back. You mentioned that tonight, Stan. And I believe that's the lukewarm church right now. They've been sold the lie that we're going to get out of here before all the trouble. You don't even have to worry about the book of Revelation. That's not for us to worry about. That's just for those poor souls that were left behind. So they're going to be caught off guard. And when persecution and tribulation comes, suffering comes for the cause of Christ, they're going to be offended. Christ talks about those who would be offended. Why? For persecution. Yet the Word says all those in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, some to a greater degree than others. Paul said, through much persecution and tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. So how are we going to reconcile this? Jesus says, if you love me, pick up your cross and follow me. He was going to die. We need to be prepared to go all the way, even if it means our death. But if I could avoid having my head cut off, I sure would like to do that. So I saw here that there's going to be a great falling away, and I don't see where those people come back. It's like those that, when Jesus had some sayings about, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, they found the saying to be too hard, and they walked away. They no longer walked with him. And he said to the disciples, will you also abandon me? And they said, Master, where would we go? You are the truth. I don't believe that those that fall away for the large part are going to make it back, because here's what I think is going to happen, Stan and Dan. As he turns up, and we literally see the mark of the beast, and we see Christian martyrdom on an unparalleled level. And it's already started, folks. 100,000 people were killed last year. Their crime, they were Christians. People were not prepared. They were not ready to endure to the end. Okay? They didn't have their prayer clauses. I want you to talk about here in just a minute. And what happened is they deny Christ. They just said, to heck with this. I didn't sign up for this. I'm just going to take the mark. If you take the mark, you signed your death warrant. There's no coming back from that. Or they'll be like Lot's wife. God got them out of a disaster zone, and they just said, you know what? I don't want to go over here to a land unknown. Head over toward those rocks. Oh, heck, I'm going back. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. She died when she did that. Or you could be like Lot's wife. She said, curse God and die. Some will curse God and die. They're going to get offended. They're going to fall away, and they're never going to make it back. So you could be a backsliding Christian and go to hell. I believe that there's also many that are going to be martyred. It says, many beheaded. And who beheads them? We've already discussed the group that their very word, Islam, means submit. And if you don't, they kill you. That's going to happen. But I found something interesting. There was a guy named Monty Judah. I don't know what happened to him. But some years ago I heard a teaching, and there was something I latched onto. He mentioned a verse over Revelation 2, verse 10, which says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. There's that word faithful again. For some, they will go into the concentration camps in prison. In fact, the word says, he that is meant for captivity, the captivity he shall go. If that's where we need to go, the Lord determines that, well, so be it. And it's saying here, from what I read, you'll be in there about 10 days and they're going to kill you. But if you'll keep the faith, you're going to have a reward of eternal life. I hope I can avoid that. But I see that as a possible option. Some are going into captivity. Some will be killed by the sword. Some are going to fall away and take the mark of the beast and bust hell wide open. Then I see like two more groups. I see those that it says, he that lives by the sword must die by the sword. Now, this is very controversial, Stan and Dan. And let me preface it by saying I believe in the Second Amendment and protecting my family, and I will. I own firearms back in the States. Unfortunately, I can't own one here. All I can protect myself with is a butter knife. But it does. Jesus did say to Peter, who originally one moment he tells buy a sword, he says, when he pulled the short off and cut off the ear of Malchus, servant to the high priest, he said, Peter, put the sword back in the sheath. He that lives by the sword, die by the sword. Now, there's a verse that troubled me, and it said, he that is meant for captivity, into captivity shall go. He that liveth by the sword must also die by the sword. And that's where I was. I had all these swords. I had the gold, I had the food, and I literally bugged out of America, and I still wasn't in peace. And I wanted to fight the New World Order. If it meant to the death, so be it. And God led me to a teaching by a guy you've had on your program before, Stan and Dan, a mutual friend, Brother David Ells. It's called The Sword of the Cross. And when I read that verse from Psalm 27, God took me back to that little article, and I said, wait a minute, I've heard him talk about the sword or the cross. Let me go back. God prompted me to read that article, and basically what I got out of that was, one of the part of being patient here is the impulse of many of us is going to be to try to save our life and fight back like Peter did. And, you know, I believe the only reason Jesus told him to buy a sword was to give him an object lesson that when they come for you in this time because of who you are, you're a Christian, that we're not to resist in the arm of the flesh, but if we're meant for captivity, go into captivity. God's able to take us out of the death camp like Corrie Ten Boom if he wants to. If he wanted to, he could translate us like Philip. You know, Daniel didn't fight back in the sword, and neither did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, yet they went to the fire, they went to the lion's den, and God brought them through the fire without burning and shut the jaws of the lions. Now, if someone were to try to break in tonight, Stan and Dan, I just had a baby, his name is Jeremiah, I dedicate him to the Lord. He's 6 weeks old. You better believe that I'm going to protect my wife and my son if someone wants to break in and try to kill them tonight. I'll do everything I can. I wish I had a 45 with me, but I don't. But I'll use everything in my means to defend them, and I'll even lay my life down for them, and someone else will lose their life if they want to come in and take my kid or my wife from me or hurt them. But when that time comes, that it's not an issue of a thief, but they've come to arrest us because we're Christians, and we will not bow and renounce Christ, then I'm not going to fight back because I believe that there's a challenge here. I think we got to do what Jesus did and what he told Peter to do. Don't pull that sword, sheath it. Show me that you're even willing to be, if I require, a signal to the world that, hey, even at threat of imminent death, you're going to lay your life down for Christ. I didn't see any of the disciples pulling the sword and fighting when they had to go to the chopping block or the crucifixion cross or even to prison or even Stephen. He could have fought back as they were going to bust his brains open with a rock, but he didn't. I believe if God chooses you and I to go that way, he'll give us the strength to go through it. So I don't believe that's the right answer either. Now, I could be wrong. I don't want to take that chance, though, that I miss God by trying to save my life if that's the way he wants me to go out. But before I sound so negative here, let me say there's another category. And I asked Michael Bolde about this. I said, Michael, what do we do if we're not supposed to fight back in the arm of the flesh? Okay. If we try to save our life, we're going to lose it. What do? We're just defenseless? He did remind me of a scripture that says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. And so I want to make my last point. And I want to throw this back to you for your thoughts, gentlemen. I believe, and maybe some don't, but I believe that America is the only nation in the world that meets all the biblical parameters, that it's that nation that is nuked over there in Revelation 18. Where the merchants of the earth, they're coming up there on their barges. You know, they're going to try to land in the ports, and they can't because they see the mushroom cloud and the smoke from its burning. We've had Red Dawn invasion. We've been nuked. And there's nobody to buy their goods anymore. Walmart has no one to sell to anymore. I believe America is that one that gets burned in 1 hour, Revelation 18. But I also noticed a verse over here, and thank you for being patient with me as I took all this time to say this, make my final point. It says, 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, receive not of her plagues. It seems to me that there's a call that for people in this time who are still alive, just before America burns, I guess goes down for the count, that there's a call to get the heck out of Dodge. Now, I want to say that I've thought that for some time, and I got out early, and it was not the time. And then I realized I got out. Now what am I going to do? I'm doing nothing for Jesus. What about the Great Commission? We can spend our whole life prepping, and did we obey one iota of what Jesus said? Preach the gospel, you know, pray for the sick, cast out devils, move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Did we let our light shine, or did we hide it in a bunker, in a hole? I mean, at one time, gentlemen, I had enough personal wealth that my next acquisition was a decommissioned missile silo. And I don't say that to boast, but Pastor Dan knows that I had some better times back when before the market crashed, and my goal was to do what I could for ministry. But at the same time, I was planning an exit plan, and I was already halfway out of the country. I would only come back as needed, but I literally was going to buy a missile silo. Now, I could be in that missile silo tonight, but it wasn't God's will. And what would I have been doing for Christ? I wouldn't be winning any souls. I wouldn't be casting out any devils. I wouldn't have a chance to pray for anybody. In fact, I would have went against the Lord Jesus' command, trying to save my life. Instead of laying it down and picking up my cross and following Jesus and letting him worry about how I'm going to die. But I do believe that an option is to get the heck out of Dodge when persecution comes. He said it when they persecute in this city, flee to the next. So I don't think there's anything wrong trying to be one step ahead of those that would like to take your head. And I believe God can guide us and lead us. Will everybody escape? I don't think so. And then if you say, well, I'm leaving the country now, well, where would you go? Can you afford to live outside? Do you speak Spanish? Most people don't. My grandmother pinned me down one time. She said, well, son, you're telling people to flee America, but what about the millions who can't? Maybe you could, but what about them? Has God abandoned them? And it pricked me. I don't believe that everybody's going to take that route. And then you're going to have to be led on where to go. Some went to Central America, and they're going to be overrun when the Red Dawn invasion occurs. They'll be dead. Hide off in Boquete, Panama. I've been there to Panama. That's not a forever place. Some went to Petra 20 years ago. They got over there and realized they were too early and lost everything they had and came back and got angry at God. They thought they missed God, and then they became reprobates. Some are going to Israel, but what happens when you can only go to these countries and they only give you 30 or 90 days? Gentlemen, I've been to Malaysia now 7 times in the last year. Not by choice, but Indonesia only gives me 30 days. Try as I might, if I wanted to stay here indefinitely till the Lord came back, I couldn't, because they would arrest me and throw me in jail. Even in these other countries, the most they'll give you is 90 days. So what I'm saying is, some out there in the Watchman community, they're saying, abandon ship, let's all get out of Dodge. I think that's reckless. Unless God's told you where to go and it gives you the provision, there's no way you're going to be able to survive that. Not to mention, does that mean we abandon the ship and the post that we're called to hold? I mean, Stan and Dan could go off air right now and you never hear from them again. But then how would they be winning people for Jesus? How would they be waking up people that are lukewarm? And that's why they haven't went underground. They're working for Jesus, occupying till he comes, as we all should be, as I'm doing, as you need to out there tonight. But not everybody's going to die in the tribulation. Some are going to be alive. Some will escape prison. Some will escape the sword. You know, some maybe God will put you over in a Petra or in Israel or a safe haven in America. I don't know. But I think any of these are possible scenarios. But I said all that to say this. The biggest threat I think any of us got tonight is not enduring until the end, not keeping the patience and the faith of the saints, and getting angry at God if it doesn't go our way, or we did run well, what did hinder us? We get so far, and then when the heat gets turned up, we just quit, because we haven't been in our prayer closet, we haven't been in the Word, we haven't counted the cost, and we haven't even accepted the fact that maybe we'll be required to go all the way and even lay our lives down like all the disciples did. None of them escaped. Some will in this time. But I don't believe that's the general command, that everybody's going to flee the country and hide out in Israel or Petra or Panama. And I'm not going to make friends with what I just said. I don't believe that our mission here in life is to spend our whole life and all of our money and resources on prepping. Some of that is good. But what happened with the Great Commission? And gentlemen, we could have World War III tomorrow. But I believe that we got a little bit of a reprieve. I don't know how long it is. Is it months? Is it years? Could it drag out longer than we thought? But I say if it does, I praise God for that. But for what end purpose? I think where we're missing it, gentlemen, and I'm talking about the whole community out there and preaching to myself, is we've lost sight of the Great Commission. We weren't called to stay down here and save our lives, but we were called to preach the gospel, and he that wins souls is wise. And if God wants to keep us alive, well, then it's only for one reason, because we're doing what he told us in the Great Commission, and we're about his business. And I think that those that want to survive as long as they can would do well to begin to obey Mark 16 right now and begin to invest in kingdom work, because what other purpose do we serve if we're not doing what he commanded us to do? How can we say we love him if we don't keep his commandments? How long did I take with that micro sermon? Man, I went a long way. I apologize, gentlemen. I back you up on what you're saying tonight. And these gentlemen are here tonight because they love you. They haven't quit. They haven't bailed out. They're trying to keep people sober and vigilant and awake to what's happening, sounding the alarm that, folks, Jesus is coming back. He's sooner than ever. Some of you may lose your lives. Some of us are going to do exploits. I hope I'm among them. But at the end of the day, we're all going to appear before the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to give an accounting. God forbid if my only testimony was, Lord, I spent the last 25 years prepping, and I, when everybody else was out there preaching the gospel, I was hiding off in Idaho somewhere, in a bunker, in a missile silo. That's where I was headed. The Lord rebuked me. On the other hand, we could be one of those that said, you know what? I'm going to be led by the Lord, and if he leads me to make a move, then I'm going to move. But I'm going to be found working when he comes back. And that's what you gentlemen are doing here. Both you gentlemen, and I just lost everybody. Sorry about that. Hold on a second, folks. I apologize. Yeah. My internet dumped you there. Well, I'm trying to get Brother Stan back.
Okay.
Brother Dan, you're over there feeding the homeless every day. You have not...
I've got a couple of things to say.
You have an abandoned ship. Okay? You're watching and waiting for the return of the Lord, and you're doing what he called you to do until he returns. Okay? You're being a faithful servant. What I'm just trying to say is we need many in the body of Christ to wake up and report to the battle lines tonight. The job's not done, folks, that we've been called to do. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would it profit me to have even gotten myself a couple years because all I did was thought about how I could save my life, yet I won no souls for Jesus, Pastor Dan. I cast out no devils. I didn't help the poor. I didn't stand with Israel. I didn't help the widows. I did nothing that would be a sign that would fall them that believe. All I thought about was selfishly how I could save my own neck. I'm just throwing that out there tonight. Okay, as people are throwing our president under the bus, Pastor Dan, as people have said America's over with, let's all abandon ship. What happened to picking up our cross and following Jesus and keeping the faith even in the midst of persecution, tribulation, and suffering? Okay?
Well, that's actually where the church has lost it. They don't understand the picking up of the cross. If they were picking up the cross, we wouldn't have gay marriage. If they were picking up the cross, we wouldn't have all this obscenity in TV programs, and we wouldn't have Muslims being taught or having them teach that the Muslim faith is the correct faith in the school. The reason why all these things are here is because the church has not been picking up their cross and following Yeshua. And that's what we're doing. I pick up my cross daily. We go to a place that's in one of the worst parts of the city. Some of the most dangerous people are there. I mean, there's everything right out there on the street. But we're there, and we're making a difference.
Yes.
And we're giving out Bibles, and people are getting salvation, and people are being fed. They're being clothed. There's miracle prayers. Prayers of miracles are commonplace, meaning nothing's common with the Father. But because we pray for these things in faith, we see them just all the time. And that's by faith. But this is what we are supposed to be doing. And, you know, if need be, he can save me like Ashak, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. Amen. Even Dimitri Duderman said that. But I am faithful to do what he has told me to do. And that comes from having a relationship and opening yourself up to listen to him and to do what he says back to you.
Pastor Dan, you could be doing anything else, like many people have chosen to do. But you've chosen to do what the Lord has called you to do, as Pastor Stan has, to minister to the people. You will no lies lose your reward. It says, how can you preach the gospel to someone knowing they're hungry, and you say, go with God, and you didn't feed them, and they're going to go away hungry, and you had an opportunity to. I'm here to tell you that Messiah's Branch does what 600 churches in Wichita won't do, many of them. And I know when it comes time for the cold season again, back under the bridge, many people are going to go because the churches won't open their fellowship halls, but Pastor Dan will open up his, and he'll put in as many people as he can, and then there's still not enough room for everybody. And they walk by faith, feeding the poor, giving them medicine, taking them to doctor appointments, giving them lifts, giving them the word, giving them an egg sandwich, feeding them clothing and putting shoes on them, giving them Bibles. You will know they are Christians by their love. Folks, that's what we've been called to do. We're going into some perilous times. I tried to find what options are available for making it to the Great Tribulation. I've given you my thoughts tonight. But in all this, however we go out of here, we've got to do what Pastor Stan, Pastor Dan said. We've got to remain faithful. Till the end, folks, faithful. Whatever.
Let me give you something. It's like this, you know, I've heard, you know, I've been doing prophecy radio and, you know, then helped Stan before I started our own newsletter and everything. And so I've been around this a very, very long time. And I've heard a lot of people speak about how to escape America as being Mystery Babylon and what they should do and where they should go. And one thing that most of these people all miss is that unless whatever scenario it is, that they are telling you, well, this is the way that you're going to escape. Unless it works for the poor also, then it's not right. Because Amen. The father isn't going to abandon the poor. And so if you have to have tons of money to leave the country and that's the way that you're going to be safe, God's not going to just save the rich. In fact, Amen. What I see of the rich, he's talking about that bomb shelter. I see people hiding in caves, covering themselves because they're afraid of what's going to come. You need faithful, you have that personal relationship with Yeshua, and if you have that personal relationship, he'll tell you when it's time to move to another city, or it's time to sit put. He will tell you. But first, my brother, you've got to have that personal relationship first, and that means you've got to be on your face. As Stanton would call it, a prayer closet.
Yes.
I call it private time within. You get on your knees and your face, and you humble yourself before your Father, and you pray to him in his Son's mighty name, and you ask for forgiveness and worship him. He will speak to you. He's looking for people. He's got lots of job applications out there, brothers and sisters, and he's just ready and waiting to fill them. The problem is there's not enough of you picking them up. You're too embedded into your hour a week church thing that's going to benefit you nothing. You know, right now people spend so much money, you know, they may spend $100 to take two or three people to a movie theater. How much of that money are they giving to the poor? How much of that money are they giving to get somebody saved? Even if they can't do those things themselves, they should support the people that do, but they're not doing it. Because why? Because in the end times it said people would be more lovers of themselves than lovers of others. And we're not loving one another as we're commanded. Remember, the two greatest commandments, Yeshua was asked, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. And the second commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. Are you loving each other? I mean, really? You've got to be doing these things. Those are the two greatest commandments in the Torah. Not all, but the greatest. But are you doing them? Is your family safe? Have you told everybody in your family tonight? Do they all know about Yeshua's salvation? Do they know about that? Well, if they don't, then there's a problem. Do your neighbors out there, do they know who you're about? Can you go anywhere and they'll say, there's a Christian? Anybody that knows me goes, hey, there's Pastor Dan. You know, I can't go anywhere in the city of Wichita without somebody running up to me and hugging me and thanking me for what that we did for them. And I always tell them, it's the Lord. It's not me. It's the Lord. It's the Father, you know, through His Son. But the point is, what are you doing? I mean, I am the same no matter what it at, where I'm at. You know, the homeless and poor told me one time, a couple of guys all got together and they said, Pastor Dan, that's what they nicknamed me, Pastor Dan. I am a real pastor, but they nicknamed me Pastor Dan. So they come up to me and they say, Pastor Dan. I said, we need to know something. And I said, well, what's that? You know, they always ask me a bunch of questions. And they said, well, we made the observation that, you know, when these Christians, you know, they, and I said, well, I'm a Christian also. He says, no. When these Christians pull out of the church on Sunday morning and we run into them in the street or we run into them at a Quick Trip or store, they're not the same as they acted in that church. They're just not the same. Why aren't they the same? Now, we can run into you, Pastor Dan, no matter where you're at, and you're the same. You're always your same self. And so why is there the difference? And the difference is apparent. It's because I live my life for Yeshua. I don't just live an hour of it a week for Him or 2 hours a week for Him or when I'm volunteering someplace. It's all the time. My life, my family's life, Messiah's branch, is based around serving the Father. Why? Because He was great to send His Son to die for us so that I might have eternal life and be with them for an eternity, that He saved some wicked, wicked person, restored him with a wife, but He restored also, and then gave us a family and many grandchildren. I'm 62 years old. He's given me strength. But right now, at 62 years old, my doctor says that I'm either 50 or younger and in excellent shape. And I believe that's because the Father's keeping me alive and keeping me to do this because He needs me on fulfilling His work. And so I place myself in His hands. I place my family in His hands. You know, I spend down I believe a pastor or preacher should be the brokest guy on the block. I spend down to whatever I got. You know, and I have faith to believe that the Father will replace it. Back to you.
Folks, and I know these two men of God that are with us tonight. And I apologize. I've lost Brother Stan, and we're having technical difficulty getting back on. If his internet comes back up, we'll patch him right back in. But before we close tonight, I want to say a couple things. That these are two men of God. They love people. That's why they do the ministry that they do, warning people of what's coming. Ministering to their physical needs. Brother, you put your money where your mouth is, literally. It's one thing to say, yeah, we love people and we love Jesus, but do we have works? Faith without works is dead. Do we have a demonstration that we actually love them? Do we help the widows, the orphans, those in disaster? Do we stand with Israel? Do we support them? And I know you do. And I know that as it comes in, it goes right back out. And folks, there's an ever-growing need out there. Why? Because others are not doing it. Either they have no desire to get their hands dirty, so to speak, or they just think they're above that, or whatever excuses people make. Or they think someone else is going to take care of it. But you are in no wise going to lose your reward, my brother, because you're faithful. And that's what we're called to do, remain faithful, as Pastor Stan, Pastor Dan have sang tonight. Wherever we are in the globe, whatever end we meet, if we'll remain faithful to the end, we'll be saved. And again, it's in God's hands. I personally don't want to go out the way of a martyr and have my head cut off. I'm going to tell you that straight up. But that may be what God has ordained for me to do. If so, I want to keep the faith, and I will not curse God and die. I will not deny Him and fall away, and I will not take the mark. This requires patience and faith and endurance. And if we will accept that we're going to go through some hard times before Jesus comes back, maybe even lose our life, then it's not going to come as a shock to the system when it comes. And then having settled that, the question then becomes, what are we going to do with the remaining time we've got? I know what you two men have chosen to do. You've chosen to serve the Lord. And he that wins souls is wise, folks. What greater thing is there that we can do with our lives and give what remaining time we have into the service of the Lord and just work with what He puts in our hands to do, wherever it is on the globe? Because at the end of the day, I realize when I tried to do it myself, Brother Dan, I couldn't take care of every contingency. Yeah. When I thought I had enough to last me 7 years, economy broke, and I began to burn through things. Things began to rot. I threw away a third of my end-time preps into a dipsy dumpster behind the office in Gainesville. Just went to waste. And I said, well, God, did I miss you somewhere? And I did. I moved ahead of God, and I did some things that he wasn't asking me to do. But I was motivated by fear. And then I realized I needed deliverance. I needed deliverance from the spirit of fear that was driving me. And as all that got stripped away, my brother, my last ounce of gold and silver gone. Okay? Business gone.
Mm-hmm.
Family was even taken away at one point in time as a testing. And I said, God, I live or die, I'm going to serve the Lord. I surrender to you, whatever, come what may, whether I'm rich or poor. And you know what? I began to have peace where I don't have to worry about everything anymore. Some trust in horses and chariots, but I'll remember the name of the Lord my God. I'm going to put my faith and trust in the Lord. And I live that way today. I don't have any retirement account. I don't have any gold or silver. I'm not against those that do. But I have learned that I got to put my faith and trust in God, because all these other things can fail you, be taken away from you, be stolen, rot. And just the other day, in closing, I prayed and asked God for a word, Pastor Dan. Zephaniah is what he gave me, chapter 1. The day of the Lord is at hand, folks. We're coming into that time. And it says your gold and silver is not going to help you in that time. I'm just saying. But what will help us is, Pastor Stan didn't get a chance to mention, but we'll get on the next program, building that prayer closet. Staying in the Word every day. Fasting as God directs. Okay? And then going about the Father's business. And to be found a good and faithful servant when the Lord returns, he found us doing what he had given us to do. The Great Commission. It's never been rescinded. And that you are doing, gentlemen. And it's an honor to know you. Before we close, I want to thank you for going in overtime. We'll give out information for Pastor Stan since he's not here to do it. I apologize that we lost him on the Skype connection and for the trouble I had on my Skype tonight. But Pastor Dan, let me start with you. I want you to tell people about Messiah's Branch there in Wichita, Kansas. Folks, I know this minister and ministry personally. I know that when you give, it gets to the people that it was intended for, to help those that are living on the street under the bridge tonight. Tell us about the mission there, how people can be a part of it and support it.
Well, amen. First off, a lot of people, we still to this day, we get people send us boxes of things in the mail. I mean, people send us clothing, boxes of over-the-counter medications. You know, there's no place in the city that people can get, you know, things like you have when you have a cold, you know, aspirin, Tylenol, those kind of things, cough syrups, all those things, and bandages and all those things. We use those all the time. You can go to the Dollar Tree. They have them all across the country, or go to it online. In fact, you can buy them, and you can have them delivered to this one of the stores close in Wichita, Kansas, and we can go pick them up. Or you can do the same way with food. Food we prefer to buy in person, but I have some people that once in a while they'll buy from a store in Wichita, like Walmart. I got a guy last week that's buying some huge bags of rice, and I just have to go to Walmart and pick it up. So you can help with food, and if you live in the area, clothing. In fact, I have people that send clothing. The homeless and poor need what you need, but we also need, we dramatically need, because of, you know, the economy has got so bad. We still have most of our same supporters we've always had, but like Omega Man and other people, they've lost a lot of their money and their income isn't the same. So we still have a lot of supporters that just can't give it as much. And so we need people to make donations. Now, we are not a 501c corporation church, but we are a church. My wife will send you, sends out thank you notes once a year for everything that is donated, and people use it if they want to for tax deductions. Now, I won't go into the debate of what I think about tax deductions, but you can use a thank you note for that. So, you know, money, I mean, it takes money to pay the bills, the gas, the water, the electric, to buy food, clothing. Well, we don't buy clothing. We get clothing donated, but you understand what I'm saying. Prayers are number one. We like large print King James Bible. You can send a case of those. Make sure they're large print, because a lot of the poor do not have eyeglasses in which to see. So a large print King James Bible, you know, that's a real blessing. And so just remember, the homeless and poor. Now I say homeless and poor because we also, the main drag is homeless people. We take care of the people in this terrible neighborhood we're in. They come in looking for food, clothing, all kinds of things, men, women, and children. We take care of all that. We take care of those needs. And some of the people that come out of homelessness, well, they in turn get a house and they work two jobs and they still ain't got enough money to buy clothes for their family, so they come looking for clothing. So it's a broad, a very, very broad thing what we do. Pray about it. We also want you to listen to our radio program, which is Prophecy Hour at prophecyhour.com. And actually, that's a hub where you can find a link to the Wichita Mission Church, which is wichitahomeless.com, but to all parts of our ministry. Because the Mission Church is supported by people that listen to radio. Because, you know, we don't sell anything. I don't sell anything at all whatsoever. We're only here by the grace of the Father. And so, you know, we need your help to stay open. Now, we're going to start our 18th year in June, and, you know, it's all been done by faith. It has all been done by faith. But, yeah, we need your support. We do really need your support. So pray,
folks,
lift it to prayer. Listen to the radio program.
It's an awesome ministry to get behind, and you will be blessed. Because the Lord said to me some years ago, even towards the end before the total crash came, when it began to start, and people lost their homes to the tune of a million people in America, I had to draw down from four employees to working out of my house till there was no orders coming in. And God told me one day, I've kept you alive this long because you remembered the poor. And he gave me the verse, he that remembers the poor, it's as if he's lent to God and God will repay. When you get to feed the poor, folks, and support these missions of Messiah's Branch, you've lent to God and God will repay you. That's the best investment for hard times. It's not, you know, buying 20 years worth of food. That'll only get you so far. But what happens when that's gone, or it's taken or stolen or it rots, or you get forcibly relocated? That can happen too. Or your house burns down. We know a guy, Christmas Day, the Lord woke him and said, get out. He lost everything. Lost his house, his car burnt down, and him and his wife escaped with their cat and the clothes on their back. Who knows when that may happen? You would have lost everything in a minute. Then what? But if we put our faith and trust in the Lord, trust in him, and have given to his work when we had the ability to do so, God will sustain us even in times of drought and famine. I believe that because he's not a man he should lie. Mm-hmm. And he said he will repay. Now, that being said, I want you to get to the website and support it. Also, support the radio show. What days and times do you broadcast, Pastor Dan?
Okay. I do live radio on Thursdays at 5 o'clock Central, I do a live program. And then at 7 o'clock Central, I do a live program. 2 one-hour programs, both on Thursday. But after they're done live, and they do simulcast live on the net, but after all that, about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, we put them in a podcast, and that goes into a radio archive. So I have radio archives. Turn back there to when you were listening. If you go to prophecyhour.com, it'll say End Time Radio Archives. You click on that, and it'll take you to a vast array of programs. And believe me, folks, I'm pretty picky about who I have on radio. Now, I don't believe that everybody knows 100%. But I believe that the message that's out there is given to different parts of the body of Messiah. And instead of being so stubborn, they need to come together and compare notes, and then they would get a much clearer picture.
Hey,
but radio,
absolutely.
Go ahead, back to you.
Absolutely. Folks, we all see through a glass darkly, but soon we shall see face to face. We can come together as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and there's some things that are not salvation doctrines. We can talk about the scriptures, and some things we'll not know till it happens and the Lord comes back. I'll be the first to say I may have some things wrong, maybe more wrong than right, but, you know, one thing we share is that we love the Lord Jesus, and the message going out here tonight is, folks, don't quit. Remain patient. Keep the faith at all costs. Even if it costs you your life, keep the faith. The reward that we got in with the Lord Jesus for eternity is much greater than just having a few extra years down here in this body, I'm here to tell you, because it's going down quick. But get over and tune into the program. What's the main website again for Messiah's Branch?
We are working on the main Messiah's Branch site, but right now just go to the hub. That's prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. Now there's a messiahsbranch.org and all that, but that's under new construction. The best place to go is prophecyhour.com. From there, you'll find a link to the Wichita Mission Church. You'll find a link to the radio program archives. You'll find a link how to listen live. And then on the main page also, you'll get the latest breaking news of what's going on around the news, and it's consistent. And there's even a list. If you look around on a list, there's a list that you can subscribe to the website for those news. But go over there. There's a lot there, prophecyhour.com, and there's many, many different ways that you could help. And you should be helping. You know, if we are taking care of others, then the Father's more likely to take care of us because he's looking for servants. He's looking for people to do what his will is. And his will is to spread the gospel and to spread the gospel through love. And you don't just do that by sitting back or going and talking to somebody once a week or something at church. Or you got to do it through your actions, you know. Just like it says in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead being alone. Faith is an action word. Get up and move and trust the Father. I trust the Father. Listen to me. I'm in one of the worst parts of the city of Wichita that most people are scared to go through after dark. But yet I'm oasis there. It's a place of peace. There's no drugs there. There's drugs all around the place. There's no drugs in Messiah's Branch. The people are peaceful. There's love there. There's love and peace. Things are getting done. And it's in the midst of, well, what I call hell. Back to you.
You've got one of the longest running Christian podcasts out there, folks. One that I mentioned to you tonight that I attribute to me being here today. It got me through some real rough times, and it was my lifeline back home. And has awesome guest on there. Now, I want to switch gears, and I want to apologize to Pastor Stan that we didn't get him back on, but we'll speak for him. Pastor Dan, I want you to tell people about Pastor Stan Johnson's website and ministry, if you would.
Oh, okay. Well, it's pretty easy to find Stan. Prophecyclub.com. Prophecyclub.com. If you go over there, you'll find Stan's broadcast. While he is on regular, like I am, I'm on a satellite station, but I'm also on the internet. But Stan, after they go out to radio, he places them on his website. So you can go over there. He doesn't keep his archives as long as I do. But he has a radio archive. You can go over there and listen to his programs and these DVDs that we're talking about. It's one thing to see to hear us on radio, but he gets his guests, his speakers, to come to the Prophecy Club, and they make quality DVDs that you can take and you share it with your family or, you know, a disbelieving uncle or friends, so to speak. And it's a seminar, and they're a couple of hours long, but you can buy a DVD really relatively cheap because, you know, people say, well, and told Stan in the past, why don't you just give them away? Well, do you have the money to pay for the DVD and to send it out and all these things? So basically, the money for the DVDs is simply to cover their costs so they can get out to the people. Now, having said that, you will see some of the best radio speakers, or rather prophecy speakers, that are around. And Stan's like me. He started into the prophecy thing a few years before I did, and then I found out about it, and the Father told me to help Stan as much as I can, and I help him through keeping news articles, and I did a radio program with him for a year, and I think we may be coming back to doing another radio program to where I present the news and Stan presents the prophecy of the news.
Oh, man.
But the point is, we did that for over a year. We just stopped recently, but we're thinking about picking it up again.
Listen, I'll be listening to it. You're a great team. Listen, I enjoyed having you on tonight and the interaction. And, you know, Stan has some of the best interviews that you'll find out there anywhere. And I know for a fact that he's just recorded some new broadcasts and be putting those out. And I tell you, I really appreciate his commitment and what he has done for the body of Christ. Many of the people, Pastor Dan, that I have on this program or I call friends, I met through the Prophecy Club and seeing them interviewed by Stan many years back. Good friends, Al Cuppett, Michael Boldea, many out there. I couldn't name them all tonight, but Stan has done great broadcast, talked about some right now topics, and, you know, not a 15-minute interview. Well, whatever it takes, 2 hours. It's great.
Yeah. Well, let me, you know what, I have also interviewed a lot of the same guys that Stan has because we share back and forth. If I find a good radio guest, I'll tell Stan, I'll say, hey, man, this is a good guest, and send him the information, and he does likewise, and we've been doing that for many, many years. Stan gave me the inspiration to want to get into radio. So that's what led me to getting into radio, and he's committed. You know, he's another one of those 100%. Stan's the same way no matter where he's at. you run into Stan. You know, we all love him to death.
Absolutely.
And he's absolutely committed to what he says. He's not just feeding you a story. He is committed to what he says. And,
he is hot for Jesus.
Faith.
And as you heard earlier, he's, even as we speak, going to memorize the whole book of Revelations. He wants to get in here and mind the Word of God. And a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. How are we going to do that if we're not digging? He's in the Word, digging in the prayer closet. And it's an honor to know him. And I apologize to Stan and to the audience out there that we lost him and we're not able to get him back on. In closing, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Be sure and check out Pastor Dan and Pastor Stan's radio broadcast. Support their ministry. You'll be blessed, and it would be an honor to have them back on. Brother Dan, can we get you back on soon? We ought to do a show every month, my brother.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do at least one a month if that's what you want to do.
It'd be awesome.
No problem with it. I'd love to come on.
It'd be awesome. Would you like to close this program out in prayer as we are in the week of Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, and one of the high holy days, the Spring Feast? Could you close this program out in prayer?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, I just ask in Yeshua's name that you'd bless all those with the ability to hear what we have said to them and to lift the veil from them, Father, so they might have understanding. Bless them in this time of trouble that's coming, and bless this radio program, and bless Stan for being on. And we thank you for the feast that we're going through, the Feast of Unleavened Bread that teaches us to get leaven out of our lives, Father. So we thank you for your Son that died for us. Without him, we would have nothing. So, Father, we thank you for all things, because everything comes from you and by you. Whether it's the air that we breathe, the ground that we walk on, the food that we eat, all things come from you and by you. So we thank you for this program tonight and ask you to bless all that's listening and bless Omega Man and keep him safe no matter where he is at and where he walks. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen.
I say amen. Pastor Dan, love you, my brother. I mean that, and Pastor Stan, love you. And we'll see you next time. Thank you for coming on tonight, gentlemen.
All right, you be blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, that was Pastor Dan Catlin and Pastor Stan Johnson, and I apologize. My internet was jacked up. Y'all heard what happened. 2 internet connections went down, and then we lost Pastor Stan about 3/4 of the way through. Again, I do apologize, and love to have both these gentlemen back on together. We talked about some controversial stuff, and I know that I may hurt some people's feelings after what I said and with some of my views. And, you know, I'm sorry if I've offended anybody. I really am. You know, we all look through a glass darkly. Soon we shall see face to face. That's not my intention. My intention is merely to let people know, folks, you cannot afford to let anything, even what you've been taught for the last 30 years, set you up to be part of the great falling away and get offended when these things happen. Because Christ said they're happening. If I'm wrong and we get out here early, praise God. If the rapture were to take place before the trib instead of immediately after the Great Tribulation. Well, there was some fruit gathering. My grandmother thought it was going to be fruit gathering. Hey, praise God. We only gained from that. That's gravy on our mashed potatoes. But if it doesn't happen when you've been thinking it was, and you and I have to go all the way through it, even maybe lose our lives for Christ, whatever you do, do not quit on Jesus. Do not renounce Him. Do not deny Him before man. Pick up your cross and follow Him. And if we'll do that, He'll raise us up the last day. Amen? And we will not lose our reward. That's my micro-sermon tonight. I'm asking God to not let me be deceived. Folks, someone told me that one time. He said, make sure you pray. God, don't let us be deceived. And I agree with that statement He made. Because we cannot afford to miss God in this hour. And you cannot afford to be presumptuous and claim we know it all. Because none of us do. And many have gotten it wrong. Let's be honest with that. Okay? And it didn't mean that they did so intentionally. Many people meant well, but they were wrong. They were convinced in their heart that they were right and missed it. That's okay. We still love one another and we're all works in progress. But I think that we share a common core belief that Jesus is the only way. And my call here, and all I do, sometimes a wake-up call for some, is that let's make this time count. Let's live this life having done something for Jesus. Not live our whole life just to save it. Save our flesh. You understand what I'm saying? What did that profit us? No reward. But I decided to go all in, even to the death. I want to be found doing the Lord's work. If He comes back on me, or I go to see Him, whichever comes first. We're about the Father's business, obeying His commandments, loving one another. That's my micro sermon.
Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.